Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Joel Alkonen, co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show, also editor of the Pre-Market Prep website, which we will post a link to below. Now, Joel, the one thing that is continuing to be true for these volatile markets is that they are headline driven, and a lot of the headlines recently, at least broad market headlines, deal with the war between Russia and Ukraine. If you look at some of the commodity moves from the spikes that they had to start off this month and now the pullback just in the last few trading days, the market on the commodity side is in a way telling us that they think the war is over or coming to an end. But then today, this morning, we had some headlines, mostly thanks to Putin and some of his comments that tell us that the war is not over, and we're seeing a little bit of a reversal. Joel, break down some of this crazy action this morning that you're seeing. Again, just headline-driven.
Thanks for having me. Good afternoon, Chad and Corey. I mean, it's just a tough market. I mean, you look at, overnight, you could look at things technically. It traded down to last week's low and caught a bid, and then they start hitting oil, so that's good for the airline stocks. And then the airline companies come out and say in a filing that, hey, traffic is back to 2019 levels. And, everyone forgets about the war. Everyone forgets about inflation, right? And it's just buy. You get up to the high of the day at 11:56, and Putin comes out and says, Ukrainian officials are not serious about finding a mutually acceptable solution. That takes the index, the futures index, 25 points off its high instantly. And now it's back up within, 8-9 points of the high of the session. So, man, you're better off being a long-term investor and trying to ignore the headlines, but that just sums everything up today, and it's going to be like this for a while, folks. Strap on your seatbelt, because this is going to be going on for a while.
Well, Joel, yeah, it's a definite whipsaw market, and no one can make heads or tails of it, because if you read the headlines and invest on that, you better be checking those headlines every 10 minutes, because they change constantly. So like you're saying, maybe it's better for people just to have a longer term vision of the thesis they have for whatever their investment profile is. But we have to admit that there's been a big reversal in fortunes for the commodity sector. And in particular, the metals have really crashed over the last, really starting the end of last week, beginning of this week, on the news that the war is pretty much wrapping up. And as you just pointed out, nobody knows, and it doesn't seem like it, but we've also seen a big reversal in fortunes in the energy markets. What do you make of the big pullback in oil almost all the way back to where this all started in the 90s now?
I think that, a lot of you have anticipatory buying, ahead of the event. Russia, who knows what they're doing in our financial markets. OPEC is always seen to be a mysterious in some of the things that they do. So, you had the buying, then you had the guns going off, the immediate disruption, short term hysteria takes over. But what I think that if you can keep a calm head and you can look at the futures markets, and these are two important terms, contango and backwardation. And backwardation is just normal. It's when, your front month contract is lower than your next month contract and so on. And, the way interest rates have gotten so much lower, it's kind of changed a little bit, when it comes to the financial futures. But when you look at you had a high of 130 in the front month contract for, I believe it was the April. If you go out to the DEES, let me pull it up here. The DEES contract, it did get over 100, but it never got up. It got to 105, and now it's back at 85. So what that was telling you is that the long-term producers, the long-term consumers of oil, were not, they were looking at this as a short-term problem. Now, that doesn't mean that, long-term, that contract is not going to go back to, you know, 120, 130. But if you look at the futures markets, you could see, you know, what was predicted in. And if you look at the inverse of when, you know, the front month crude went negative, that $40, that was just because we were in the middle of a pandemic and no one was using oil, right? No one was driving cars. No one was flying. No one was doing anything. So, you know, it will come back to an equilibrium when and if, I don't know. As far as the, the commodities, I mean, it's just driven by momentum, right? The momentum swing, that's what commodities is. And it gets momentum going to one side. And with the wheat and the corn and things like that, you know, limit up, limit down, driving people crazy. I think what you're kind of seeing is that there's demand destruction going on, right? It's like, are people, you know, is there a point where they're not going to pay that at the pump? They're not going to pay that at the restaurant? I mean, and I guess all of a sudden today they tried to factor that in, which is amazing, but that's the way our markets work. And in this day and age, social media, free flow of information, that's what you got. Another thing, Putin, I mean, he's fighting a war on social media. You know, he's fighting a war that's never been done before. And that's a powerful force when you see what the world's doing. And I won't even get into the whole China thing, because that's a whole nother point to the market. But that's where we're at. And this is, and it ain't going nowhere fast.
So, Joel, if you're looking at some of these charts from a technical standpoint, look, we had a strong monthly close last month in a lot of these commodities, or quite frankly, a lot of the sectors that spiked higher on the war when it started. So we had strong monthly closes, but now we started off this month continuing to spike and now reversing everything. A lot of these markets are, for the most part, back to where they started this month. So you can make the argument if they drop a little bit from here, it's a pretty ugly candlestick. Still only halfway through this month. Technically, how do you look at these sort of moves?
It's, I mean, when fundamentals come into play, right? Technicals go away. You almost have to say when there's a war. The news will drive these right to certain prices, but you don't know when that news is going to come out and if it's going to be positive or negative news. I mean, for me, I look at the dailies, and I'm just looking at the wheat chart here, and I'm pretty simplistic in the way that I look at the markets, but every move has a counter move, right? And if you're looking at the wheat and you're looking at the daily, it got pretty crazy, right? It got up to, what, 1364 a bushel. And then last week it got down to, 1043 a bushel. Let's call it the $3 move. Now the market is going to retest that break, right? Are we shooting right back up to, that $13? No, because there's people stuck on the contract, right? That thought, wheat was going to 20 bucks. So I like to look at, when there's a move, there's a counter move. And for this, for the wheat, what did I say? A 320 move. So $1.60, does it get back to, 12 bucks? Does it get back half of the move? Does it hold there? Does it consolidate there? So that's the way I use the technicals, but I'm using the technicals after the news comes in and moves the commodity and or stock indexes.
Some good advice there, Joel, keeping your eye on the fundamentals first and then using the technicals for positioning purposes. Well, another piece of news that we can throw in the mix as if we don't have enough is that the Fed and Powell talk tomorrow, and we're going to find out what their amazing rate hike cycle plan is, at least whether it starts off tomorrow. Almost everybody's expecting a 0.25% hike. Is there any potential they use the geopolitical tension and all the market roiling to punt and not even do anything tomorrow?
No, I think that, they got a little today you got a little break with the PPI number, and I think that the Fed's, behind the eight ball here. and you don't know what the lasting effects of the war are going to be on prices. So I think they go a quarter, and I think they'll keep going a quarter until they have to ratchet it down a little bit. But yeah, that's, people talked about a half, but I think just like the war's put a little crimp in taking it up too quickly. So I'd say a quarter. I'd say maybe, the next two or three meetings a quarter. But I'm not on the Goldman Sachs team there that JP Morgan that's looking for 8 or 9 interest rate hikes. I might be wrong. They might be right. They might be talking their book. They might not. But you don't want to slow it down too much, because you don't want that stagflation, that ugly word stagflation, creeping in. So that's my outlook. And the Chicago Mercantile Exchange has a Fed funds rate percentage calendar, and I encourage your listeners to go look at that to see what I mean. We were at one point a month ago or 3 weeks ago before the war started. It was like a pretty, started to get a 60-70% probability that they were going to go to a half. Well, boom, man, the war hit, and that came right in. So that's a pretty good predictor.
Yeah, it's also interesting to see what the market is doing in terms of pricing in some of these yields, because the 10-year continues to move higher. It's above where it was when that war started. So again, some pretty big reversals that we're seeing in markets. Joel, any long-term plays that you like then for the investor that wants to ignore these headlines, and you think either a sector has been sold off too hard or that you do see a rosier outlook rather than this wild volatility?
Wow. I'd say right now with the geopolitical situation, with China being unknown, with Russia, I think it's really hard, to... to go all in, at this point. And if you want just a beaten up, ugly looking sector, the biotechs, if you're looking at, long-term investing, they have been virtually ignored here during the pandemic because you have much more emphasis on COVID vaccines and stuff. So if you want to do some bottom fishing, people are getting older, right? These companies aren't going away. Maybe take a look at some issues in the biotech sector. The banking sector, it's tough. They've had some significant pullbacks, but are the rates of inflation going to be high enough, or the Fed, raises rates enough to really help the banks? So kind of tepid on those. And I guess if you're looking for things that, have had a pullback, some of your brokerage stocks, your Interactive Brokers, your Charles Schwab's, man, if this kind of market volatility and trading keeps up, these companies are going to be printing money. So that's I'd be looking at those issues since they pulled back from the highs. I just got to tell you one thing that is just absolutely defying all gravity is Berkshire Hathaway. This stock continues to make new all-time highs on a daily basis, and its largest holding is Apple at 45%. Apple's 15% off its all-time high. And he has Moody's in there. He has some other stinkers in there. And this thing, the warrant premium that's being paid right now, is just unbelievable. But, greatest investor of all time, people are following him. So I'd be a little bit cautious on that. I think another sector that's kind of been beaten down is, the Ford and the GM. And I just think, I think that they're going to be players in the EV market. So there's my combing the ditches report.
All right, Joel, so good, man. Thank you for trying to make sense of these crazy markets. And boy, I hadn't looked at that Berkshire Hathaway chart, and it just keeps going. And especially one of the series of their listings, they have huge volume that's come in. So I don't know, the market's telling us something different about that stock, but hey, trying to make sense of where these markets are going is tough right now, especially after these pretty wild reversals we've seen. Joel, thank you as always for your time, buddy. Hope you have a great rest of your week.
Thank you, guys. Talk to you next Tuesday.